Radio Prague News.
The Czech anti-monopoly watchdog has put on hold the government's project of welfare cards. As of January 2012, patients in Czech hospitals will be able to pay to be treated by the doctor of their choice, according to the health minister. And the Czech national football team will face Montenegro in the playoffs for next year's European Championships. The Czech anti-monopoly watchdog on Thursday launched a review of a tender for new welfare cards, a project initiated by the country's Labour and Social Affairs Ministry. In an official letter to the opposition Social Democrat Party, which asked for the tender to be reviewed, the anti-monopoly authority expressed concern that the ministry might have breached the law in organizing the tender. The ministry now cannot conclude any contracts related to the project until it is cleared by the anti-monopoly authority. The government is planning to issue the new cards to welfare recipients in 2012 as part of its broader social reform. As of January 2012, patients in Czech hospitals will be able to pay to be treated by doctors of their choice, Health Minister Leoš Heger told the daily Hospodářské noviny on Thursday. It is not clear, however, how much these fees will be, as it is likely to be determined by individual hospitals that will share the money with medics. The ministry believes the measure will stop the current practice when patients often pay bribes to be treated by top obstetricians, orthopedists and other specialists. The move comes as part of a broader healthcare reform pursued by the centre-right Czech government. The Czech Senate on Thursday voted to postpone the introduction of a compulsory foreign language test as part of the new secondary school leaving exams. The senators approved an amendment that originated in the lower house and which determines that school leaving exams will in 2012 be held in the same form as this year. Foreign language tests might therefore be introduced in 2013 at the earliest. Education Minister Josef Dobeš welcomed the vote, saying many vocational schools were not ready for compulsory foreign language tests. Czech Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg on Wednesday presented British playwright Sir Tom Stoppard with the Gracious Egit Award for promoting the good name of the Czech Republic abroad. Sir Tom, one of the most internationally performed dramatists of his generation, was born in Czechoslovakia but left the country in 1939, fleeing imminent Nazi occupation. He settled with his family in Britain after the war, but maintained a close interest in his homeland, supporting Czech dissidents during the communist era and helping authors banned by the regime. The Czech national team was on Thursday drawn against Montenegro in the playoffs for next year's European Championships. The first match will take place in the Czech Republic on the 11th or 12th of November, and the second leg will be held a week later in Montenegro. The Czechs finished second after Spain in the qualifications Group I after they beat Lithuania 4-1 in Vilnius on Tuesday. The national side manager Vladimír Šmicer said the draw was neutral, as the team wanted to avoid Turkey, which was also in the draw and which would have been a more difficult opponent. And finally, a brief look at the weather. The end of the week will be mostly clear with occasional morning fog. Daytime highs should range between 7 and 11 degrees Celsius. My name is Jan Richter, and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name's Christian Falvey. Many thanks for tuning in. Today, tabloid media may at last start paying serious fines for publishing celebrity photographs without consent. After that, we'll take a visit to the new Museum of Alchemy. And later on in today's panorama, Czech volunteers saving stray dogs in Slovakia, where the practice is to put them down. I hope you'll be staying with us today for all that and more here on Radio Prague. In the past two decades of their existence, Czech tabloids have become increasingly aggressive, stopping at nothing in their quest to get an edge over the competition. Reports from the showbiz world and gossip about well-known personalities, which marked the birth of a tabloid press after the fall of communism, soon gave way to intrusive pictures of celebrities on their deathbed, politicians caught in the nude, and reports about spontaneous abortions and fatal diagnoses. A proposed amendment to the law aims to curb these excesses and make the tabloid press answerable for the photos and lies that appear in print. Daniela Lazarova has the story.
It's no holds barred for the Czech tabloid press. It has brought snapshots of a much-loved film legend on her deathbed, a respected 70-year-old actress caught in the nude, an MP topless on the beach, and even a former prime minister naked at a private party. Reports of alleged alcoholism, drug abuse and sexual deviations abound. Although there have been verbal battles and even a few fistfights with a paparazzi, few of the celebrities concerned take their case to court. And in cases where they do so, the fine meted out for violating the right to privacy or publishing downright lies is negligible, far outweighed by the profit made. Now the Legal Affairs Committee of the Czech Lower House is proposing a change of legislation that would serve as a serious deterrent. Stanislav Polčák is an MP for Top 09.
The aim of the proposed amendment is to make those papers which violate the privacy law and resort to slander financially responsible in a way that would make them think twice about doing it again.
In line with a proposed amendment, tabloids which use an unauthorized picture might end up having to pay twice its market price, which could run into hundreds of thousands, if not millions of crowns. Celebrities about whom a tabloid prints slander can also calculate the profit made from that article and demand approximately the same amount in compensation. Czech celebrities who have long sought better protection from increasingly intrusive paparazzi have welcomed the move. Actor Ondřej Vetchý says the proposal is long overdue.
Democracy in the Czech Republic often takes a beating, but this time round it is getting a big boost. Violating people's privacy or slandering will not be so easy if the publisher or editor is held fully accountable.
Writer Michal Vivek says that celebrities in this country are in an extremely vulnerable position.
The verdicts handed out in the cases that actually made it to court were so lenient that they served as an incentive. They were a message to publishers saying, go ahead and print what you want about who you want, because nothing much will happen to you.
That should soon change, although the final version of the proposed bill will depend on the input of deputies and senators who have yet to debate it in Parliament, judging by the fact that many of them have themselves fallen victim to the tabloid press, they are unlikely to be in a benevolent frame of mind.
That was Daniela Lazarova with that report. This is Radio Prague. As of this week, the Czech capital, Prague, has a brand new attraction for visitors and its citizens alike. A new museum just a stone's throw from Prague Castle looks back at an era when outstanding scientists and alchemists brought to Prague from across Europe by the Habsburg Emperor Rudolf II carried out their experiments in laboratories around the city. Pavla Horáková went to see the exhibition.
A bubbling sound coming out of a wooden and glass box conjures up the mysterious atmosphere of a 16th century alchemy laboratory on the ground floor of a picturesque courtyard building in Prague's Malá Strana district, now housing the Museum of Old Prague Alchemists and Magi. The museum's director, Filip Janzvolský, explains the purpose of the apparatus.
This machine is known as the Philosopher's Egg and was used to produce the Philosopher's Stone. This is just one of many exhibits here on the ground floor of our museum. Here you can find all kinds of information on topics related to alchemy in Prague. You can step onto the magic circle drawn on the floor and see what happens to those who abuse the art of alchemy. After seeing this part of the exhibition, visitors can proceed onto the lab, which we shall see now.
Filip
Filip Janzwolski takes me up a creaking, spiraling staircase to the Kelly Tower, named after the 16th century English alchemist Edward Kelly, who is said to have lived here during his stay at the court of Emperor Rudolf II. At the top of the staircase, we enter a secret alchemy laboratory in a dark loft.
The
laboratory itself is one large exhibit. It has many corners and displays many smaller objects. The actual core of the alchemy laboratory is a system of furnaces where different liquids are heated up and boiled. Over there, we can see the process of creating of an artificial human being. And in another part of the room, we can watch the creation of the philosopher's stone and base metals being turned into gold. But come and see for yourself.
Bellows used for fanning the fire in the furnace, cauldrons, retorts, dried herbs and stuffed animals. Those are just some of the many exhibits on display in the alchemy laboratory. Another part is dedicated to the English mathematician, astronomer and alchemist John Dee, as well as his collaborator Edward Kelly, who both spent time in Prague and became part of its myths and legends. The Museum of Old Prague, Alchemists and Magi will be open daily from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. with all information available in Czech as well as English.
Many thanks to Pavla Horáková. If you're just tuning in, then thank you for joining us. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. Now, later on in the program, we'll have our language learning show sound check. But first, here's Daniela Lazarová with a fresh edition of Panorama.
Of Czech volunteers are helping to save stray dogs in neighboring Slovakia, where there is a widespread practice of exterminating them. Over 2,000 animals a year are legally put down in this manner, regardless of the fact that many are perfectly healthy or only puppies. Prior to their extermination, which usually takes place within a week of their capture, they're placed in overcrowded, dirty kennels and in most cases left hungry. These dog shelters are often referred to by the locals as concentration camps for canines, and their tragic fate has prompted a network of volunteers on both sides of the border to develop a fast alert system which would get them out in time. Iva Millerová, who is actively involved in the project, explains how it works.
It's possible thanks to Facebook. There is now a network of volunteers in Slovakia who live in the vicinity of dog kennels or quarantine stations for dogs set up by local town councils where stray dogs are taken. These volunteers send out an alert whenever stray dogs, in particular puppies, are brought in. They try to find the dog a new owner in Slovakia, and if that fails, they turn to us for help.
The animal rights activists involved usually have a network of contacts and friends who are willing to take in a puppy or dog for a few days before it can be handed over to its new owner, be it here or in Slovakia. The aim is to try and make sure the stray dog spends as little time as possible, ideally none at all, in the dog kennels, which are frequently ridden with disease. Iva and her friends make regular life-saving trips to Slovakia many times a year.
V průměru to vychází kolem 10-15 měsíčně a to mluvím tady samozřejmě za sebe, protože...
On average, I save 10 to 15 dogs a year. I have no idea how many we manage to save altogether because there are quite a few volunteers involved in this activity. We try to find the dog's new owners even before heading out to get them, and it's becoming easier to do that because people have found out about what we do. They ring us up and say they are interested in adopting a stray dog or puppy, so often on our way back from Slovakia we take the dog straight to its new owner. In 99% of cases they are mongrels, of course. They have been seen by a vet and in most cases have been chipped as the law requires.
Většina z nich je čipována, tak jak nařizuje zákon.
No matter how hard they work, and it should be noted that these volunteers work for free, covering trips to Slovakia, dog food and vet fees out of their own pockets, there are many stray dogs they can't save. Eva Millerová says this makes it important to work along two lines. Save as many dogs as they can, here and now, and in the longer-term perspective, put mounting pressure on Slovakia to adopt legislation protecting animal rights. She claims the situation in the Czech Republic's former sister state is woeful in this respect.
To množství je obrovské. To povědomí o možnosti nebo respektive nechuť.
The number of dogs put down is huge. There is little knowledge about the benefits of neutering and a general unwillingness, particularly in the eastern parts of the country, to adopt this practice. The attitude towards pets is very irresponsible. A pregnant bitch is either thrown out of the house or the owner will wait for her to have her young and then kill them or get rid of them by throwing them on a garbage dump, leaving them in a forest or at a bus stop. In the best possible scenario, they might be left at a dog shelter, a quarantine station, or outside the local town hall.
There is generally little sympathy waiting for them there. Town halls generally have little money to spare and have adopted a harsh policy of exterminating stray dogs who have overbred in many parts of the country and are considered a menace. The mayor of a town in eastern Slovakia recently caused outrage by urging Romanis to help him deal with a stray dog problem. He said they were welcome to eat them free of charge. Challenged by animal rights activists, the mayor put out a shameless statement. Dogs do not vote for me, but people do, and the people here require me to protect them from stray dogs. To be honest, Romanis would probably eat them anyway. We're just helping them along, the mayor said. In late August of this year, Czech animal rights activists demonstrated outside the Slovak embassy in Prague to ask Bratislava to address the problem, but achieved little more than to spread the news and publicize the issue. Eva says the country's laws are at the core of the problem.
We handed over an open letter to the embassy, and of course their response was that whatever was going on was in accordance with the law, which of course is true. Slovak laws are extremely lenient in this respect. The law allows you to kill a dog, regardless of its age, regardless of the fact that it's healthy, just on the grounds that it is stray and has spent several days in a shelter during which time nobody turned up to claim it. So that's what's being done. Dogs are being killed without any consideration, be they puppies, pregnant bitches, problem-free dogs.
Thanks to the work of animal rights activists, there is growing awareness of the problem, and efforts to save Slovakia's stray dogs are not restricted to the country's former sister state. Eva Millerová again.
Ano, je tam I kontakt na Rakousko a Německo, kde jsou.
Yes, there are people helping in Austria and Germany as well, and it is proving much easier to find homes for stray dogs there. Fortunately, mongrels are in fashion there, which is admirable. Here, people still tend to see a dog as a status symbol, and many people want what they call a pure breed from a breeder. Of course, they do not get a thoroughbred dog, only a dog that closely resembles a given breed. We really hope to change that, to set a fashion for mongrels and turn people away from pure breeds bought from breeders.
Although efforts to save stray dogs in Slovakia have acquired a high degree of urgency, Eva Millerová says the Czech Republic itself has plenty to improve upon when it comes to animal rights.
Although in the Czech Republic the law does not allow you to kill a healthy dog, there are plenty of problems that need to be addressed. However, the will to discuss these problems on the part of both the Czech and Slovak governments is truly negligible. I realize that in view of the economic situation, deputies have other priorities, but we do our best to lobby our cause, visiting MPs and senators to drum up as much support as we can. What we need here in the Czech Republic is not so much adequate animal rights laws as their enforcement in practice. That is, hefty fines and sanctions for those who break them, and more powers to law enforcement officials who find something amiss.
Pravomocí veterinární správy v případě, že shledá nějaké pochybení a tak dál.
If you're interested in adopting a stray dog from the Czech Republic or Slovakia, please write to Home for Pets at centrum.cz. You'll find the address on Radio Prague's webpage.
That was Daniela Lazarová with Panorama. Now, topping off our show for today is the next edition of our Soundcheck series, where the Czech language meets the language of music, and brought to you on this occasion by Jan Wellinger.
Welcome to another edition of Soundcheck, Radio Prague's Czech language course, in which you can learn new phrases or expressions through song lyrics. Today's song is called Zubata by the famous underground rock band Pražský výběr, a group headed in the 1980s by singer and musician Michal Kocáb, now the country's Minister for Human Rights and Ethnic Minorities. Zubata is a Czech slang expression for none other than the Grim Reaper. Only in Czech, death is a woman. The root of the expression is zub, meaning tooth, while zubata translates as the toothy one. Unlike others, death is incapable of hiding her pale grin, a smile no one willingly returns. The text in the song is just four lines, as simple as can be. Yesterday death came for me, death. She told me, pull on your shorts, shorts. It's time, boy, you must come with me. Don't cry. Against death, all tricks are useless. At least the protagonist has time to pull on his shorts, very considerate. And if all that has you wondering about other Czech expressions for death, here are a few. If someone has kicked the bucket, you might say, natáhl bačkory, he's popped his clogs. Translated, it also could be to turn up one's toes, or in this case, literally to turn up one's slippers. Bačkory. That's what happens when you have the misfortune of answering the door and meeting a grinning skull with too many teeth. Vypustil duši might be used to describe someone who has croaked or given up the ghost. His soul was released. While someone pushing up daisies or now feeding the worms would be said to be pod kikičkami, under the flowers. There's one even funnier, irreverent expression you might also sometimes overhear in the pub. Someone might say, tek prgi do hlíny, now he's farting in the dirt. Evil, isn't it? Speaking of Czech pubs, if you're ever in one trying to pick up a girl and she tells you, vrak se do hrobu, it means she thinks you're a tad too old. Return to your grave and stop bugging her is what's implied. Why? Well, you look like death warmed over.
That was Jan Wellinger with Soundcheck, wrapping up Radio Prague's English program for today. Don't forget that this program and every other is available at our internet address, radio.cz. If you have any questions or comments, we are always happy to hear them. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz, on Facebook under Radio Prague, or of course by post to Vinohradska 12 12099 Prague. From me, Christian Falvey, thanks for listening.